Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Today we are gathered to say goodbye to our dear brother in Christ, Kenneth Baister, and to give thanks to God for all of the blessings that he gave to Kenny in his life and the blessings that he continues to give to all of us. Today we gather sometimes with broken hearts at a time like this, and yet hopeful because of the promise of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, given to us through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today the service will follow a pattern very similar to the one that we had just a couple days ago. Everything that you need for the liturgy is printed for you on the blue bulletin, and then for the hymns and the words to the hymns, you will need the burgundy-colored hymnal, which is in front of you in the pews. Today, as we begin the service, our opening hymn will be Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. It's number 715. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Kenneth was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We now join together in speaking the words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Kenneth and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading today comes from Psalm 34, various verses beginning with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the verse. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our Holy Gospel reading comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is printed for you in the back flap of your hymnal. We confess together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Our next hymn is 783, "Take My Life and Let It Be." You may be seated.
Thank you.
To the family and friends of Kenneth Baister, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate his life of faith as well as to mourn its earthly end, and once again, especially to the three of you, Kevin, Faye, and Lori, gathered here again for the second time right here in this pew for second time in 3 days. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They say that a person can die of a broken heart. Now, whether that's actually true or valid in any sort of scientific way, I have absolutely no idea. I'm certainly no medical professional. All I know is what I can see and observe with my own two eyes and things that I've heard from other people who have known others who have kind of been part of the same sort of phenomenon. Apparently, it's true that in some cases where you have spouses who are lifelong partners for one another, when one of those two individuals passes away, it may not be very long before the other follows them. Sometimes that might be a matter of months or maybe even a matter of weeks, but in this case, we're only talking about days. In this case, we're talking about 3 days, to be exact. That's it. Kenny was not all that interested in living in a world without Joyce in it. And by God's grace and his mercy, he didn't have to for very long. So whether you can consider brokenheartedness an actual medical condition, there's at least a spiritual component to what Kenny was going through during these last few months, as he watched Joyce's health decline the way that we all did, as he began the grieving process just like we all did, except the difference for him was that in this case, Joyce was the person to whom God had joined him with as one flesh when they were married 58 years ago. And so I truly believe this is a man who, even though he had his own serious health problems for at least the last 10 years, it was ultimately his heart breaking for his bride that led to him succumbing to his illnesses this past Sunday morning. But I'm thankful today that I can say to you with confidence that throughout the 81 years of earthly life that God granted to Kenny on this earth, the overwhelming majority of that life was lived with a full heart, not a broken one. Kenny was a quiet man. He wasn't really a person that would draw much attention to himself. He wasn't really someone that you would consider to be outspoken. But at the same time, there were a few things that he really did feel passionate about. There were things that really helped to keep his heart full. Some of them are simple things. Like, for example, this is a simple thing, but Kenny really loved NASCAR racing. You know, he would watch the races, and if he couldn't watch one of the races live, he would record it, and he would watch it later. He had all these model stock cars, race cars, in the basement, and they kind of looked like toys, but they definitely weren't toys, and you definitely weren't supposed to play with them. It's a simple thing, but it was one of those things that helped to fill his heart. Kenny also apparently loved to go to Dairy Queen. I heard that his go-to meal was a burger and an Oreo Blizzard. And he enjoyed those treats, but he especially enjoyed the company that was with him as he would go and eat there. And speaking of other people, it was really Kenny's friends and his family that brought him some of the greatest joys in his life. I know the three of you told me that when you were younger, he would sacrifice his time to take you on fishing trips, make happy memories that way. When grandchildren started coming into the picture, he just loved to spend as much time as he possibly could with them, even if it just meant that you'd take a nap together on the recliner. He loved spending time with his co-workers at Cambridge. He especially loved coming home at the end of the workday and spending time with friends here at the shop in Hoyleton. And then, of course, through it all, there was Joyce, the love of his life. He often let her take the lead when it came to social gatherings and things like that, but he never wanted to be apart from her very long, if he could help it. All of these simple joys and pleasures in Kenny's life really did add up to a heart that was full, filled with God's blessings for which Kenny was so thankful. But you and I know, and Kenny knew this too, that if that's all that there was, if life was just all about NASCAR and Dairy Queen and spending time with other people, well then that would have just led to this nagging feeling of emptiness throughout his life. That would have led to a brokenness caused by the sin that always threatens to take all of these joys and turn them into sorrows. But thanks be to God, more than all of these other simple gifts that God gave to Kenny, was the most important gift that God ever gave to any of us. His Son, Jesus Christ, who emptied himself by dying upon a cross so that people like Kenny and Joyce and you and me could have our hearts truly filled. So that those who have faith in him, just like Kenny had since the day he was 10 days old being baptized back in 1937, so that we could have our broken hearts mended and put back together again, so that we would have hope in a bright future, just like the one that's described in that passage we just heard from Revelation chapter 7, wearing white robes, waving palm branches, standing there in the big crowd of saints, along with Kenny and Joyce and all those that we love who have died in the faith, worshiping the Lamb for all eternity. Talk about having a full heart. But in the meantime, here we are. And this scenery is starting to get a little bit too familiar, if you ask me. It's a lot to take in just a few short days. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of us who are gathered here today are also feeling like we have a breaking heart too. So if that's you today, let me remind you of some of the things that we just heard from some of these other passages that we read earlier. First, from Psalm 34, God says this: "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." When our hearts break, the Lord is near us. When Kenny's heart broke, the Lord was near him too. Kenny may have had a broken heart toward the end, but he did not have a broken soul. Jesus Christ did not abandon him in those last few days and weeks of bad news and declining health, and neither has he abandoned us, sad as we are, that two of our favorite people are no longer here. Jesus comforts us today in the same way that he comforted the disciples in our gospel reading from John 14, by reminding them and reminding us that he is right here by our side. You know, when Jesus gives this speech here in John 14, what he's doing is he's preparing his disciples for his death. He's preparing them because things are about to change. After traveling together for 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, all of a sudden, Jesus isn't going to be there anymore. I think it'd be fair to say that the disciples were feeling a little brokenhearted, or at least if they weren't by that point, they were going to be soon. And I can imagine that we can all relate to those disciples somewhat today as we're about to step into this new normal where Kenny and Joyce aren't with us and we can't just pick up the phone and call them or text them. You drive by that house in New Minden and they're not going to be there. It's all kind of heartbreaking. And yet look at what Jesus says to his disciples twice in this passage, both in verse 1 and in verse 27 too. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, why does Jesus say that? How can he possibly say that at a time like this? Because he was about to do everything necessary to make sure that those disciples could be with him, that where he was going, they could be also. And in the meantime, until that day, he sent the Holy Spirit, The same Holy Spirit who has come to us, who provides us with things like the Word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the church, the gift of faith, the promise and hope of the resurrection of the dead. These things comfort us too, even in the face of death. Kenny's heart broke for his bride, and his earthly life came to an end. But in a much greater way, it was Jesus whose heart broke for his bride too. Us, the church, we are the true bride of Christ. Jesus saw our suffering, he saw our pain, he saw our struggles with sin, and he decided that he was going to do something about it. He died so that we could live forever, so that you and I could live with full hearts that could never be broken ever again, so that people like Kenny and Joyce could be raised up on the last day with perfect bodies, freed from all of these earthly problems that they dealt with toward the end. So that on that great and glorious day, Kenny will breathe. He will breathe in that breath of life and not have all those breathing problems that he dealt with for so long. And on the same day, Joyce, she will partake of the heavenly marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom without a feeding tube, without a tumor in her stomach. Most importantly, as it says in Revelation 7, verse 17, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. My dear friends, that is our true Christian hope. Dry eyes and full hearts, both now and forever. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Kenneth Baister and to all who mourn comfort in their grief, and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Kenny and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death. And by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is Amazing Grace, number 744. You may be seated.